K-Mud Podcast presents.
K-Mud Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your host, Steve Dodge, and Sunshine Sarasota. Now, Sunshine's still in the Caribbean, but she was going to try to call in. So we may hear from her soon. In any event, I am going to open up the lines again here at the top of the hour instead of the bottom. I'd certainly like to hear from you. We have a number of topics to discuss. And you can get in the studio at 923-3911. And Javi will get you right in here. That's 707-923-3911. There's a couple of issues I wanted to discuss, which could have vast implications for the cannabis industry. Really, it's a question, which way is pot going in the state? I was just talking with a buddy, and he pointed out that Prop 64 kind of felt like a setup. I've mentioned this before. How is it that it just seems like the little guy, especially up here in Humboldt, is getting hammered? And from every direction, it's at the very least suspicious. But the first of the issues I wanted to bring up, which some of you may have been heard about because it was broken locally by Isabella Vanderheeten, our very own Izzy, of the Lost Coast Outpost. She writes for the Lost Coast Outpost. Anyway, the question is, has a state appellate court made cannabis illegal here in the state? It's a Santa Barbara ruling, and it's hard to tell if this is bad news. It's gone a couple of different ways. But a successful lawsuit claiming pot is not federally legal and can't be in the state any longer succeeded. And the county down there, I guess it's Santa Barbara, is appealing it to the Supreme Court, the California Supreme Court. Let me go in and explain what it's about. It may turn out that it simply isn't as scary as it could be. So this is what happened. And in a way, it sounds familiar to what happened recently up here with that Prop A. There's a lady down there. I'd have to look at my notes to find her name. But she took exception to cannabis being in her face. All right. So it's kind of like this. She has property. And one of her neighbors has a piece of property that's smack dab in the middle of hers, about 2.5 acres. And the rest of their land is adjacent to her. Back in 98, they concluded an easement that went across her land to this landlocked property. Now, the people on this landlocked acreage decided to make a cannabis farm. And this lady, the exception she took was cannabis moving across the road, which she felt was or should be illegal. And she took it to court. And she lost, then she won, and now it's being appealed. Now, when I first heard about this, I immediately got alarmed. But I'm going to go over some of the speculations that came to mind for me. But it turns out that it may be overblown. So, first question. We can't have any licenses in the state because easements are everywhere. Okay, there's an easement going to the dispensary. There's an easement going to the distributorship. There's easements going past other people's places all over Humboldt County. Part of this woman's complaint was that she wasn't informed and she didn't give her consent to have pot move on the road. This could easily happen in multiple locations across the state. So no new licenses. What about current licenses? Are they all canceled? Cups be canceled? I actually have one in process myself. Well, the first thought you have is this going to open up a can of worms. There's going to be tons of lawsuits against the county and against the state. I even thought to myself, what's it mean for the show? Suddenly I have a cannabis show with no cannabis. And I thought to myself, oh, well, I'll go down fighting. I'll keep the show running until the last guy goes down. I managed to work myself up, but like I said, for no good reason. There's the question of the tax monies. What about the abatements? In fact, do any of the cannabis laws have validity? It turns out that this suit down there was actually pretty narrowly focused and probably does not apply any place else in the state. In some conclusion, here's a quote. If California has determined that cannabis cultivation is legal, as it has, and state courts routinely enforce contracts involving cannabis, it's a pretty bold step to declare the use of a lawful pre-existing easement illegal simply because the agricultural crop is cannabis and take away any easement access from the Santa Rita – that's what they call themselves – the Santa Rita farm. Our own Cliff Johnson up in the planning department, quote, it's the county's position that that court case is not applicable to the situation in Humboldt County. Santa Barbara County's land use development code requires that the county must find that the streets and highways are adequate and properly designed to carry the type and quantity of traffic generated by the proposed use. That's a different situation than what occurs in Humboldt County. Now, I don't know how many people may have become aware of this, but I thought it would be a good idea to talk about it. Oh, great. Let's get Sunshine in. Hi, Sunshine.
Hello. Greetings.
Yeah, greetings. Welcome. Glad to have you back on the show.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Are you still in the Caribbean?
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. It's really quiet.
Hopefully we'll have Sunshine with us again in just a few minutes. So if you're like me, it's enough to get you worried, but if you keep digging, it probably won't be a problem. And all of my speculation of doom and gloom was probably a waste of my time. Now, I'm glad Sunshine's with us. One of the things that Sunshine and I have regularly talked about on the show is Sunshine? We're working on this, guys. I hope we can get her on. So, as I mentioned, we've thought that it would be such a good idea if we could sell cannabis on our own farms, if we could invite people up to our farms to see what we're doing, to get our story out of our mouths. There's an old saying in sales, it's not what you're selling, it's your story, it's who's selling it. And for some reason, the state hasn't really gotten that, but they seem to be inching closer, and they just recently passed AB 1775. This bill was passed, I believe, in October, and it became effective on the first of the year. One of the complaints was, so I have a retail outlet, and I have a consumption lounge. But all you can do is go in the consumption lounge and smoke pot. You can't have a pastry. You can't drink a cup of coffee. right? This is limits the enjoyment that people might have, the tourist attraction that it might involve. Besides, there's people who might want to come to a consumption lounge who want to be with their friends but don't care about smoking pot. They just want to have a cup of coffee. 1775, therefore, is about enhancing the selling of pot in dispensaries through consumption lounges or on our farms through the micro license. I'm in the process of creating a micro license for myself, and the micro license allows you to engage in several cannabis functions. You're a cannabis cultivator. You could also be a distributor, a retailer, a manufacturer, a nursery, a delivery service. There's a number of options for you. It's actually kind of exciting. And through the micro license, you would be a retailer. Therefore, you could move cannabis on your farm. It isn't outright freedom to sell. It seems like a workaround. One thing that I've wanted to do, but basically legally I can't, is to engage in some sort of marijuana-based glamping. Like many of you, my property's beautiful. You know, of course, I own it, but I think it's jaw-droppingly beautiful. I wouldn't be surprised if people from the city would think the same. And I can have folks up, and I have to jump through the licensing and permitting hoops, which I'll talk about in a minute. People can't smoke pot legally. At least they couldn't. I could take them on tours. I could do trainings. They could explore that side of cannabis, but they wouldn't be able to actually purchase any. Now consider, a delivery service can deliver cannabis to a person's home or literally any place they are. I've been involved in a couple of fairs down in the city where the cannabis was literally delivered to the booth at the fair. Sunshine, are you with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you just fine.
Okay, great. Awesome. Fantastic. Happy to join you this evening.
Yeah, I'm real happy to have you on. Been missing you.
Yeah, I'm missing it too. So yeah, you were talking about the, what was that, road situation and right away.
Yeah, let me, you probably know about it, but let me bring you up to speed. When I first heard about it, as I mentioned to our listeners, I was thinking, oh my God, what a can of worms. This is going to shut down pot in the state. Huh. It's going to be a huge disaster in every possible way.
Yeah.
But it appears that the ruling, because this lady won her suit, would be narrowly focused around the laws in Santa Barbara County and almost certainly wouldn't apply in other areas of the state.
Yeah, now, yeah. It just seems really hard to enforce something like that once someone's already got their operation set up.
It opens up a can of worms, as they say. I think that the state themselves have a vested interest in not having this go broad across the state. Their tax base would collapse from cannabis. There would be multiple lawsuits that people would bring. I mean, what the hell? You told us we could, and now you tell us we can't?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see this going too far either.
I don't see it going too far. But I brought it up because I wanted our listeners to have the same take on it that I came to, you know.
Yeah.
Now, who knows? The courts, okay? Who knows what's going to happen in the courts?
Mm-hmm.
But the chances are really unlikely. that it'll be a big problem. So that was that. That's what we talked about before you got on the phone. And now we're talking about a bill that passed. It actually passed in October and has gone into effect on the first of the year. This is AB 1775.
Okay.
So I don't know if you're aware of it, but
the consumption.
Yeah, it enhances consumption.
Right.
And
let's just put a little emphasis on enhances.
Correct.
Yeah, enhances consumption. Anyway, just making a joke. All right, carry on.
But you're right, because it one thing that both of us have been interested in that we thought would be really helpful for the industry and the farms is if people could come up to our farms, not only experience the area and see our gardens and perhaps learn about cannabis, but could also purchase cannabis and smoke it right there on our farm.
Yeah.
And that has not been legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And 1775 doesn't seem, in fact, to make it outright legal. Mm-hmm. But from what I've read, it opens a door, maybe. And it works like this. You can only take advantage of AB 1775 if you're a retailer who would have a consumption lounge, or you have a micro license, which would allow you to be a retailer or a delivery service. Probably you'd have to be a retailer, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Then you could, in fact, have a consumption lounge right next to your pond.
Right, but just getting permitted for a retail, having a farm and a retail outlet next to each other might be a little challenging.
It might be a little challenging. So the truth is this looks like it was focused on commercial retailers in more urban areas. But in the language of the bill, they included micro businesses.
Well, maybe the farm stand out there in Corlata.
Yeah.
Maybe they could add a consumption lounge. But why would you add a consumption lounge in Humboldt County? I mean, we're already anyway. Who needs a? We're already consuming. But
well,
it's
true. A lot of the locals
in the cities, though, you do in town. You need a consumption lounge could be handy in town.
I think so. Let me interrupt just for a second and remind our listeners that we would like to hear from you. Give us a call. You can reach us at 923-3911. You can get your voice on the Cannabis Show. Javi will get you in here. That's 707-923-3911. Certainly like to hear what you think about this. Now, Sunshine, you use the word enhancing. And one of the motivations for passing this bill was to increase the tourism aspect, to encourage. I know it sounds kind of weird to put it this way after all these years of being illegal. But to encourage people to engage with cannabis. And up until now, you weren't able to eat food or drink beverages in the same place as cannabis. I could never figure that out. It seems silly.
Yeah.
What? But now 1775, in fact, makes that legal. You can go into a consumption lounge and kind of wake and bake in the morning, you know,
right.
Have a nice cup of coffee, smoke some pot, and then get about your business. Also, the weird thing about it is none of the food can be cannabis infused.
Oh, okay.
You can have cannabis.
Right.
But your quiche has to be just a quiche.
Okay, so then let's just say, here we go. Let's just say you got your special sauces and you buy the sauces separate and then you add it to the food yourself.
I think it'd be damn hard for anyone to catch you doing that. They'd literally have to be food police walking between the tables.
Well, it's just a little way to kind of like, yeah, I mean, you're not exactly preparing infused food. It's just you buy, you know, you get your dipping sauce and your caramel and your, you know, and it's nice because then you can actually add it to the dosage that you like for your food. So it might actually be a win-win situation.
Possibly. Now, yeah. I need to reread. I've read it several times. The AB 1775. I recommend that our listeners, if they care to engage with this law, they should read it carefully as well. One thing about laws is somehow I read them and I try to be careful that I don't read an interpretation into it that I want.
We absolutely should be looking for your own interpretation, because otherwise, I mean, you might miss some opportunities there.
Good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Always be looking.
Yeah, yeah. So one thing that I've wanted to do, and I was thinking that this bill could help with that, was to get people up on my farm glamping. You know, it'd be a nice tent or a yurt, or they'd bring their own tent. I keep seeing Christmas lights all around my pond.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, I think it could be really pretty. I think most city folk would just be floored and they'd love it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the industry has been so challenged. We've gone on here on the show about thinking outside the box. And glamping or camping might, in fact, be a way to think outside the box. I would love it if folks could come up to my farm and buy an ounce of pot, because I have a micro license and I'm a retailer. Or I could perhaps have a distributorship and a delivery service. And you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know if that's completely legal, but it kind of sounds like it is.
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about it. I mean, you just gotta, as long as you can record the sales, you'll need an address to deliver it to. So if you're, I guess maybe it's like the neighboring parcel.
Oh, well, my parcel has an address.
Yeah.
Anyway, I find the idea very attractive.
For sure.
All right. So you've probably heard about conditional use permits.
Yeah.
Well, I have been working with the county about getting a micro license.
Great.
And I mentioned my glamping idea. And the county guy pretty much right away said, "You ain't zoned for that. You can't do that." Here, we'll talk about this some more, but right now we have a caller.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
Let's get him in.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm reminiscing on the days of the handshake down the dusty road.
Hi.
You know, because that is what I do remember at nearly 71 years old. Now, true, I was called the second wave of what they used to call hippies, because the name hippie has gone into disrepute.
Oh, I don't think so anymore.
I do know a lot of hippies, and most of them are older than me. And some of them are getting really up there, and some of them have actually died. You know, and it's sad when they die, because some of them are highly idealistic human beings that have lived through Vietnam, and even some have been through the World War II, like my dad, and all their lives have changed, you know, and all their families go back to so however far they go, and then their families are attempting to go on into the future. Now, some of us have learned to like marijuana, but I didn't really start learning to really appreciate and like it till I was 29 years old. And that was after my teaching career. And I did come here. Ray Raphael wrote a book about teachers in 1981. And it was mainly just like live interviews that he recorded on a tape recorder. But I am in that book under the wrong name, of course. I always tried to change my name. So I'm not changing my name. Either way, I still have marijuana with my Hashimoto's and walking through two plandemics, AIDS and COVID-19. Now, I expect to walk through more plandemics. However, I don't like the leadership in cannabis. I didn't like the leadership in marijuana either. I think we need new strategies to help the aging seniors and to better educate the youth. And I would imagine Cal Poly Tech should cancel Murder Mountain and cancel the rotten, lousy, horrifying, slanderous book called Marijuana, A Life in the Humboldt Frontier by Emily Brady. It's complete slander and not a good thing to promote at a college where children are trying to have an open mind. And that's all I'll say.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you.
Okay,
now,
thanks,
Carl. I think our caller's point
brought
on that.
A lot of-
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, she definitely brought up the number of points there.
Oh, yeah, she certainly did. And I actually didn't know that the college had Murder Mountain as part of the curriculum. The Murder Mountain is crap. It's media sensationalism.
That was one. They're okay. There is media sensationalism, but it's easy to pick out. And I think that was one of the most honest portrayals, honest documentaries. Like, really, I mean, that was the thing is that what made that documentary good, it pissed off everybody. That's how you know it's good.
Okay. I can see that. Just since we're on it, what did you think was most valuable about it?
I think what I liked about it, just as a local, having grown up on the west side of Garberville, was that coming and getting this story out of Alder Point, like, you know, just capturing that side was really good. And it kind of showed the similarities that we have as a community. Like, you grow up on the west side and you think you're so different, but really you're not. And so that I was just thankful for just capturing that. I think also I liked how it showed a positive side of women in Humboldt. It was like the women who got together and said, "Yo guys, someone lost their son and is murdered. Mother lost her child. Like, go out there and figure it out. Go see what happened." So, anyway.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of issues that come up in there, and it's all very honest. So, I appreciated that.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I am. Well, you know, I've got these fantasies about selling pot on my farm. But the glamping idea is another potential way to make money. You don't have to sell pot to have guests up on your farm. There are different ways to approach it. You know, one, of course, is to have them actually on your farm. Another is to set up some sort of tourist deal with our local tour company or encourage your guests, in quote, to stay at local hotels. I believe, and we've mentioned this before, that the county has missed a bet on this. It would so enhance hotels and restaurants in the area. But I looked into the conditional use permit, otherwise known as a CUP, and how to get one. Because my guess is most people would get the same response from the county that I got.
Well, one way to handle, look at that situation is that if you go and do your separate EIR, your own environmental impact, your own CEQA separate from the county, I think you can, if you work that, you might be able to get everything you want.
How so?
Well, because you're going to be doing your own, you're going to be like answering, you're going to be basically paying the bill to answer all their questions and around the environment. And you're also going to be protected with your own CEQA too, from the county's CEQA, which is also not a bad position to be in. So I would say you could ask for more things, because you could really look at closely the environmental impacts of having more traffic, of having more people on your land and having wildlife, and just get more details about that. It might help. I'm not really sure. I'm not a CEQA, you know, expert or anything, but something to consider.
It's something to look into. My concern,
yeah,
of course, is it's pricey.
Already, yeah, it's pricey, but you might as well ask for everything you want. And then go into, and then you have the, then, you know, you can get your conditional use permit, and you can also ask to put everything you want in there too, and see what happens. But, it's worth considering.
Definitely. And I did research.
Doing your own CEQA might not be as expensive as you think. Like, the state has resources to help you. The DCC has resources to help you. So might not be as bad as you think.
And you certainly wouldn't know unless you dipped your toe into it a little bit to find out, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I did with the CUP. If I wanted to apply for a conditional use permit, what might be the best approach? Now, apparently, you have to apply to the supervisors. They have to okay it. The planning department won't even consider it unless the supervisors have okayed it.
Okay.
Apparently, one of the chief reasons that you might get approval is you can demonstrate it has some benefit for the community. You want to make your CUP attractive.
Right. So, there could be some you could help build the economy too, of just even in your neighborhoods. If you have neighbors and there's things that they can offer to campers and things like that, that can also help too. So there's ways to spread the goodness.
When I started brainstorming to myself on this, I came up with a surprising number of ways it would be a benefit to the community. I'll list them in a second. Let me remind our listeners that they've got K-Mud's The Cannabis Show. And you have both Steve and Sunshine with you. We'd like to hear from you, and you can reach us at 923-3911. Javi will get you in the studio. That's a 707-923-3911. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. So for that list, think of tourism benefits. Simply arranging and enhancing tours and tour companies, benefiting hotels, benefiting restaurants. I just had a buddy of mine. We were semi-dreaming, but things are changing. And he was suggesting that we may find a resurgence of people coming up here, not a back to the land movement, but something similar. A lot of people can work remotely now, and our area is gorgeous. So we, in fact, may find more people coming up here. But tourism, okay, depends on people. Anyway, how about educational benefits? If people know more about pot and how it can help you, this could lead to an increase in revenue. Of course, it could create increased tax revenue for the state, increased employment locally. All of this would aid the small farmer's survival. Now, there's a number of hurdles I believe you have to get by. You would have to have a Category 4 road. It's not impossible to get, but it can be pricey. You would have to take care of your toilet situation, but I understand that.
What if you just?
Yeah.
What if you just ran shuttles from town? So, like, if you shuttled people, because you're only going to have so many people, and maybe you only operate so many days out of the week, so many months out of the year. So it's kind of, you know, it's like there's a window that you're working with. And with a shuttle, you're not going to have all these vehicles, and you might have an easier time getting it moved because it's just less traffic and less vehicles. Just it's more controlled at that point. Because
well,
like people
I like...
come at a certain time and then they leave at a certain time.
One thing that the county wants, okay, is they want to know what you're going to do with the road.
Yeah.
They're concerned about the environmental impact, just like you said. And if you have a half dozen people coming up and – you know, they're not going to come up and you're going to trap them on the land. They might come up and then although they're here to stay on your farm, they may decide to go to a town to eat or – right? Or they will want to leave and go in the redwoods.
I mean, honestly, going back to Murder Mountain, they're going to be scared to even go down the road. Like they might want a shuttle. Just saying.
What do you think we should enhance that to people? Oh no.
Yeah, people might appreciate the shuttle. I mean, yeah, you would want to have like some food there for them, of course. And but then that's another selling point because you can still sell some snacks, right? You can have your little snack bar. And that's another little revenue stream. And then you could have like an outdoor kitchen, and you could provide some basic, like maybe some meal stuff, but maybe one meal a day, or I don't know, you could do a little bit supplement, but yeah, that could work.
I think so too. Of course, money is the reason that I've thought about this. And I believe that we living in this area shouldn't under underrate what we have and how unique it is. And people will pay money to be able to experience it. They won't be able to bring their children. I believe that's illegal. You can't have any kids next to pot.
Mm.
I know. And again, that's something that I don't quite get either. But the state is concerned about that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
That doesn't keep you, though, from having people come up who don't have children or haven't yet, and or people who had children but don't have them with them anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people. Anyway, I'm thinking that with the 1775, anything that can enhance cannabis. Oh, and the other thing about the 1775 is it lets you have parties. You can have venues where both food and cannabis can be offered.
Okay, well, you better have some music and DJs written into your conditional use permit. That'd be super fun.
That'd be super fun, and I think it would be a real attraction. You know, people would be excited to come because of that.
Right.
You know, I've thought before that something like this would be really good for private parties. You would have to have enough advertisement that you could actually make something like that fly.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, in a previous show, didn't you mention something about weddings and how a wedding with a music venue attached to it, would be an almost perfect situation for people to enjoy themselves? Anyway.
Yeah. That would be great.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Well, those were the main things that I wanted to get across to our listeners and have them realize are available. You know, one, don't be scared about this Santa Monica thing.
That's the biggest issue about, like, I mean, as a local mountain, yeah, it was a great documentary. I very much appreciate it. But at the same time, yes, it's really hard when you hear people not from here tell you that they're scared to come here, having seen that documentary, which is a bummer. It's definitely an issue. So, yeah, it's a drawback for sure.
It's a shame too.
Yeah,
because
it really is.
I've lived here for most of my life.
It has directly affected the economy. It really has.
No, it really has.
People definitely want to drive up here after seeing that. So, yeah.
And somehow, you know, the media doesn't cover all the loving hippies, but it eagerly covers.
It did. There was a section in there on the backs of Landers.
Yeah,
there was. There was a part in there, but I mean, that part, I guess, is going to come later because people, you know, they like the sensationalism and this and that. Well, yeah, things are sensational here at the burn down Babylon. It's coming. I mean, yeah, people are going to want to hear the rebels talk. I mean, it's only a matter of time. I could see that, like, the story of I could see that story definitely people wanting to learn about it and hear about it, understand it more.
Well, if I was going to sell it, you know, because I think our story is an important one, but it was like, you know, we're the last bastion of rebels.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you call a rebel someone who thinks differently, oh, we got a lot of people up here think differently.
Yeah, I mean that could be. There's lots of different directions to go in with that too, and there's lots of different stories to tell. And it's going to be important that we get these stories sooner rather than later.
So expand a little bit for me on the importance of our story and of being willing to tell our story, because really our story isn't a unified thing. It's a bunch of different people with their own stories.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly it's just the not wanting to do the 9-to-5 and just wanting to, like, educate the children, which I was a product of, immense, very, very important. I mean, all the institutions we built around it too, from K-Mud and on, it's such a statement in itself. So
as a community story, that, it certainly is.
Yeah. But just that autonomy and wanting to be, you know, to the best of our ability, wanting to be somewhat sovereign. And so, and just that kind of like, do it yourself. Like, you want to change, get up and do it. Like, don't complain about this and that. Like, actually make a difference. And that attitude is an important one to have. Not to just be a victim to the system and be like, okay, I can make a change.
Think that that aspect of who we are has drawn people up here or has awakened an interest in us as Humboldt?
Like, now does it draw people?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, yes, a little bit, but, like, I mean, you saw what the Green Rush brought, you know, and so I'd like to think that there are people that are here, you know, that come for sure. Share those same values too. We'll see.
I know. It wasn't so much the case with the Green Rush. I mean, it wasn't all bad, but.
Right. Still. But even before the Green Rush, I mean, there's been more the heydays, the Green Rush.
The heydays. That's right.
Yeah. The before camp came days.
But yeah, that's right. And, you know, I've heard listeners mention that before the Green Rush, you know, when it was just the back to landers, basically, there wasn't a lot of that Murder Mountain stuff.
Well, there absolutely. There's always been that. Like, if you think about it too, like, you know, we might have just been these, we don't even know how many people in the hills with guns were actually protecting us, you know, hippies, nonviolent hippies, didn't want guns, living our nonviolent lives. We don't even know, like, how many of them actually protected us from, like, people coming into our neighborhoods. Like, we don't know. You know, we're just living our blissed out lives. We might be more connected than we really realize. You know what I'm saying? Like, might be more connected. But, yeah. So, I mean, we still had even before camp came, yes, there were murders happening in the hills even before that, even before camp. So, I mean,
I know.
It's been going on.
Murders happen in the city too.
Just part of the freedom or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, the whole weed world, yes, it attracted all kinds of people.
Some
of them not so good.
So, Sunshine, we made it to the top of the hour.
Awesome.
That's right. And it's been great talking with you. And do you think you might be back up here with us next week?
Yeah. I'll definitely be back. Yes, I'm on my way.
All right. That's
yeah,
sweet.
For sure.
Yeah, and you know, I want to remind our listeners that listen carefully about, look at things carefully. They may not be as alarming as you think. And as we've said on the show, think outside the box.
Absolutely.
So you have been listening to KMUD Community Radio's The Cannabis Show with your hosts, Steve Dodge and Sunshine Sarasota. We've just been talking around. Next week, well, I got a couple of possible guests, but none of them confirmed yet. So you'll just have to tune in, listen in, and call in. Good night, all. Good night, Sunshine.
Hey, see you next week. Bye.
See you next week.
This has been a KMUD podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.